morning. It's time for the Ship Report. I'm Joanne Rideout. This is the show about all things maritime. It's Monday, March 20th. Is that what it is, Kate? It's been kind of a blur with our pledge drive going on at Coast Community Radio. So it's Monday, March 20th. We have a lot of ships on the schedule. I forgot to count them before I came in here, but I'll tell you about them all. In our marine weather forecast, things are pretty calm, relatively speaking, today. Winds are only gusting to 20 knots today, but we do have rain back in the forecast, so I hope you really enjoyed yesterday. And today we're going to be talking about a really interesting topic, and I struck up a conversation with someone about when I was in Costco the other day, all about the importance of propellers on vessels and how they work. So we're going to be talking about that in a minute. But first, we have two inbounders on the schedule today. We have the Crest Navigator. She's arriving from Port Angeles, headed for Vancouver's Anchorage, and she's a bulk carrier headed for the Port of Portland to pick up soda ash. Soda ash is one of those cargoes that is like an economic indicator. I've heard it referred to because it is used in so many things that the amount of soda ash that's being moved around the world at any given time tells you something about the health of the global economy. So in 2008, when the economy kind of dipped, soda ash was really scarce. Soda ash exports on the Columbia really dropped, and you could see that that was affecting that. So at any rate, soda ash is something to watch. It's used to make automotive glass, among its many uses. This ship will be passing Astoria around 11 o'clock this morning. We'll probably see her in Vancouver by 5 p.m. The Saga Pioneer is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She'll pass Astoria about 7 p.m. and arrive in Vancouver around 1 a.m. on Tuesday. In the Astoria Anchorage, all of our ships are awaiting orders today. They are the Goya, the Capitola, the Ocean Trader 1, the Global Trinity, the Basic Queen, the Sand Topic, the Ultra Calbuco, the Diamond Inda, and the Pan Amber. In the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, but if you get up on the hill in Astoria, though, you can see all of the ships in the anchorage. It's really cool to watch them. I was out walking yesterday up on the hill, and it was just gorgeous to watch, for me, of course, to see all those ships in the anchorage. We have the Galatea, the Zhang Heng, the Angelina awaiting orders in the Rice Island Anchorage. And at sea, we have two ships that will eventually be wanting to come into the river today. They may have to wait. We'll see how things go. And in our outbounders, we have the Berge Ben Nevis departing Portland from the port of Portland with soda ash on board. She's leaving around 3 a.m., maybe passing Astoria around 9 a.m. today. The Elizabeth C is leaving Portland carrying wheat at about 9 a.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 3 p.m. The Conti Spinel is leaving Vancouver carrying wheat at about 10 a.m. Might see her pass Astoria outbound around 4 p.m. The Urgina Luck is leaving Longview with wheat on board at about 4:30 p.m. That could put her past Astoria around 8 p.m. It takes about 3.5 hours to get from Longview to just opposite the waterfront here in Astoria. The Poavosa Wisdom 7 is leaving Vancouver at about 4:30 p.m. She could pass Astoria outbound around 10:30 p.m. Well, another look at our marine weather forecast. We have east winds today, 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20. Wind waves from the east, 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart, but northwest swells 4 feet high at 9 seconds. And rain is in the forecast. So remember me telling you that we always have those two forces, local wind waves, this time from the east because of our local winds, and then those swells that always come in general from a westerly direction that could cause some confused seas activity out there today. Well, today we're going to talk about propellers, and this all started with a very interesting conversation that I had with a man. I was in line at Costco, so we're talking about community here in our pledge drive and how everything works here, and this was kind of a perfect example of community. So I'm standing there, and the man has a jacket on that says something something propeller service in Alaska and locally here, and so, of course, I had to strike up a conversation and say, you know, I'm really interested in maritime things, and he was talking to me about the importance of propellers and how they have to be matched to the engine and how different blades and the pitch of the blade is very important, and so we chatted about that, and he eventually said to me, well, propellers is all I know. And it made me think about how everybody knows something. We all know something. We all bring something to the table. And together, that's what makes a community, is everybody doing their part. So this guy was really into propellers, and I was really enjoying talking to him. But at any rate, I thought I'd share a little bit with you. This is very, very basic about how propellers work. So cars have tires. Boats and ships generally have propellers. Some ships have jet boats, have jets on them that use air and other kinds of ways to propel them. But in general, most vessels have a propeller on them. And so they transfer the energy from the drive from the engine through the drivetrain into moving this vessel forward. So propellers are kind of, in a very, very broad way, like the tires on your car. Propellers operate on two principles. One of them is something called Bernoulli's principle, and the other is Newton's third law. So I looked this up. I tried to find it in the most simple terms I could find. And Bernoulli's principle is kind of the explanation of what we call lift in aircraft. So students of physics and aerodynamics are taught that airplanes fly as a result of Bernoulli's principle. Sailboats also operate that way. It says that if air speeds up, the pressure is lowered. So on an airplane wing, the front of the top of the airplane wing or the front of a sail or part of the front of a propeller blade generates lift when water, in the case of a propeller, goes across that side of the blade faster on one side than it does on the other, and it creates low pressure, which pulls through the water. So in a very, very basic way, or a very overly simplified way, a propeller kind of pulls the boat through the water because of creating that low pressure in front of the blades. So at any rate, the propeller spins. It's like a big fan blade, and when you start the engine and start a propeller turning, the ship doesn't move right away because it is overcoming the incredible inertia of that vessel. It has to reach a certain amount of force before it can overcome that, and the vessel will start moving. So you'll see the propeller, these ships in the anchorage, you'll see the propeller start to turn and the water churn for a while before the ship actually starts to move forwards. So there are different numbers of blades on a propeller. And the other one is Newton's third law, before I go on to that. Newton's third law says that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, which you've heard that before. We all remember that from school. So when you turn on the propeller and it pushes, you know, there is a reaction to that ultimately causes the vessel to go through the water. So now if next time you go through a boatyard, we have one here in Astoria, or you might see a boat out of the water in a picture or somewhere or on TV, Your propellers have different numbers of blades. Some of them have three blades, some of them have four, some of them have five. That's generally the configuration you'll see. And that's really important, too. So a three-bladed propeller is really good for high speed and acceleration. It's not so good for maneuvering at low speed. So a ship that's on the high seas all the time might be okay with a three-bladed propeller. But when you get into four- and five-bladed propellers, it creates more maneuverability, better control when you're in a small space. So a tugboat, say, that's having to maneuver a lot might have a five-bladed propeller. Now, propellers get more expensive, and propellers on ships are huge, huge expense and huge size. So a propeller on a big ship, like a big, big cruise ship or a big freighter, might be 30 feet high. So we're talking huge scale here. So propellers and things like that are all part of the drivetrain of the power plant of the ship, which is a whole separate, there's so much going on there, another thing that we don't see. So these ships go by, you don't see the propeller. I mean, unless the ship is very, very high in the water, you won't see the propeller at all. Now, on the ships that are sitting out in the anchorage, which are sitting very high in the water, don't have cargo yet, when that propeller starts to turn, you may very well see the very top of that propeller sticking out of the water. But when the ship is down, loaded, you'll see that you won't be seeing that. So it's another one of those unseen things that there's a whole crew, a whole engineering crew below decks in a ship. All they do is work below decks. They get paid extra to do that in general. And they are not up on deck looking out at the sea, gazing fondly into the distance. They're down there working in the heat of the engine room. And that's the engineering life if you are an engineer on a ship. So I love all this stuff, where the stuff you can't see that goes on all these ships that are going by. There's propellers turning, there's people operating them, and everybody's an expert, everybody has their niche, and that's really kind of a cool thing. You've been listening to The Ship Report. I'm Joanne Rideout. Have a great day.